Welcome to the Wahoo Central Podcast, coming to you from the McHugh Center at the University of Virginia. I'm Jeff White, Director of News Content for VirginiaSports.com. My guest today is Brian Boland, who's about to begin his 14th season as head coach of the UVA men's tennis team. Brian, welcome back.
Thanks, Jeff. Good to be here and excited to start a new year.
Before I start firing questions at you, give us a rundown, if you will, of the schedule this weekend. Indoors on the Boyd Tinsley courts at the Boar's Head Sports Club. You play Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, right?
Yeah, we have three great teams in the kickoff weekend for the ITA National Indoor Tournament. There's 64 teams. 16 regions around the country. We're hosting one of them for the kickoff. We have three teams coming to town. Ironically, two of them are coached by former players of mine as assistants, Houston Barrick at Virginia Commonwealth. They have a great team. They're facing off against Louisville, who's obviously new to our conference, and have the number one player in the country, Steffelmeyer, who will be in town, which will be
at VCU exciting. Louisville.
Louisville has the number one player in the country. And then we'll play tomorrow night against George Washington, and the assistant coach there is Philippe Oschorn, who's from the Netherlands and has done a great job with that program. And they're really a great team. I mean, they've done well in the conference and national over the last several years. They have an outstanding number one player who's played a number of my players in close matches, including having match points against Jameer Jenkins a couple of years ago. Francisco Diaz is a heck of a player. So a lot of great tennis in town at the Boar's Head Sports Club starting tomorrow night at 6 o'clock when we kick off our season. This team is exciting, so we're looking forward to it.
In 2014, Virginia advanced to the NCAA tournament's Final Four for the seventh time in 8 years. Your latest team is number three in the ITA preseason rankings. I know preseason polls are not always accurate, but if your team plays to its potential, is it capable of winning an NCAA title?
Yeah, no question. I know that the guys have talked about that a lot lately, and if we do things the right way and we enjoy the journey and embrace it, I think we have a great shot at the end. We have for almost a decade now, and that's our goal. You know, you can't control whether you win it. I think every coach in the McHugh Center would tell you that. I have some incredible colleagues that work here with other sports teams, as you know. That's one of the things that I'm so impressed with at the University of Virginia is the coaching staff across the board is phenomenal, and I've learned so much from them. But, you know, a lot of athletic teams here are putting themselves in positions to win national championships, and, you know, Steve Swanson knows so well as I did that it's not an easy task, no. Even when you possibly have two of the best four players in the country. Morgan Bryan was obviously outstanding, and I follow these teams so closely. I love to see what Tony Bennett's doing to represent all of us, and just a special time for UVA athletics, and I'm just so pleased to have a little role in it.
Tell me about the team's retreat at Wintergreen recently. What did you hope to get out of that, and did you accomplish your objective?
We did. You know, years past, we spent a week and a half, 2 weeks training at the Mission Inn in Orlando. And just from an efficiency standpoint, we thought it would be better to reduce that to a few days and allow the guys a little more time in the break to play other tournaments, to get themselves healthy and excited and energized for the season. So we kind of let them have control. And I believe that's one of the special things about this team is they want to play. They're eager. They're energetic. They all want to play at the next level. And therefore, you know, as a coach, if anything, you're trying to drag them off the court. And I think that's a special process that all of us coaches are blessed to have right now at UVA in terms of men's tennis. So we feel very lucky, and we allowed them until the 9th to come back and prepare for school and to start practices. And then John Oliver was nice enough to understand that I thought there was great value in spending some time together to talk about what we're going to do this season, how we're going to go about it. And we did some really interesting things that we've never done before that I thought was really put the onus on the guys. And, you know, it's something that I think is going to build a great tradition of what we want to do to start every season.
It sounds like Brian O'Connor telling me about the zip lining they did and some of the things they did on their trip south recently that were, you know, nothing to do with baseball as such. But he felt it brought the team closer together.
I think if you talk to any of the guys on our team right now, they're going to remember that trip for the rest of their lives. It was very healthy and positive, productive, team-oriented, challenging for the coach.
No skiing or snowboarding.
No skiing or snowboarding, but there was a climb that Coach Boland – struggled with, to say the least. But they were very encouraging to that in my case, and it was a great opportunity for us to come together. And it really does have a lot to do with tennis. I mean, I think that's what you learn more and more as all these things go hand in hand. The dots connect, and it's important that as coaches that we understand what's going on in these kids' minds.
Looking at your 2015 roster, I see familiar names: Mitchell Frank, Ryan Shane, Max Steisinger, Tyson Kwiatkowski, as well as several newcomers. How many of these new guys are likely to be in the lineup, and what kind of impact do you expect them to have?
Well, they're all going to see action, for sure. Cullen Altamirano, who just joined their team from Sacramento, California, is a top junior in the country. My first under-18 national champion when he was 17 years old, and the first unranked player to win that tournament in 71 years. Pretty impressive. And then has had some good wins at the next level, including the U.S. Open this last September, when he won his first round of qualifying against a young man from Italy who's about 150 in the world. Colin's a great player. Most importantly, one of the things that has fascinated me so much with Colin is his humility, his willingness to be part of something bigger than himself. He talked to the team about that a lot himself this weekend, why he chose UVA. And he just did a remarkable job kind of letting the guys know that he's here to be part of something and not it be all about him. And it takes a lot for a young man to come in and embrace that, because in the past, as they grow up in junior tennis, particularly someone like Colin, it's all about him. So he's really excited, and I think he feels he's in a special situation. Henrik Wersholm, who hails out of Seattle, Washington, another young man who's played in at the highest level of junior tennis, the round 16 at the U.S. Open in juniors, one of the best juniors in the world, top two recruit in the country, came in the fall. One of the finest young men I've ever had the opportunity to coach. I think he's going to be a future leader of our program, somebody we can build the program around. A very likable young man who really is eager to be the best in everything he does, on the court, off the court, and being part of the team. Same kind of attitude as Colin has. And then a young man who had to sit a year from Switzerland, Alexander Richard, who grew up in the United States and spent a lot of his time in Miami. He's a dual citizen, but the last several years he spent a majority of his time in Switzerland playing in Europe. A really fine young man who took a little bit of time to adjust. He had to sit out a year from January to January, but compete with anyone in the world. I mean, he's had wins over former top 10 NCAA players, All-Americans, and has competed as an amateur at the professional level, and he's had great success.
Was he able to practice with the team?
He was. He was able to practice with the team, although when he came in last January, it was within about 2 weeks he had elbow surgery. Since particles in his elbow, the McHugh Center and the doctors here in Ethan, I mean, they are the best in the world. I think every coach here would say that. The semblance of our medical team here is phenomenal. We were so fortunate to have him come in and work with the doctors here, and the job they did, they're the best, and we're very fortunate. He's healthy and ready to go, and he's going to be a big impact for us. So all three of those guys are a nucleus that I think could make up probably the best class in the country.
Without giving away any secrets, have you settled on your singles lineup or your top three or four slots in that?
Well, I don't want to just give you political answers and sound bites, but that's a tough one for me.
I'm sure it is.
We're going to have to move things around quite a bit this year. I think one of the things the guys realize is in order to be part of this, you're going to have to be unselfish. There's just absolutely no choice in the matter. We can't have guys that want it to be all about them. And I know that every program's different in terms of their history, their timing, where they're at. But these guys are going to have to sacrifice for one another. If they're not going to, it would be a tough go, because there's a lot of guys that could play number one on this team. We haven't made any decisions. It's early. Certainly, I'm going to be forced to put something together tomorrow night, so I will do that. And I've got a good feel where the team thinks, where it's at right now, kind of their voices, and then my coaching staff, who I have tremendous respect for, and Dustin Taylor and Scott Brown. So we'll make the right decision, and the guys will they'll go out and play, as they all said they would.
Mitchell Frank is the only senior on the roster. He's a team captain for the second straight year. It seems to me like it was only yesterday that here in his first semester he won those two major singles titles. For you as a coach, did the careers of your players fly by?
Yeah, life is flying by much too fast. I told my wife that last night. I said, wow, these are days that go by awfully fast. And, you know, with four young kids and two that are teenagers now, I certainly want to make sure I smell the flowers once in a while and see what's going on. So thank God I have the wife, and what a great job she does. But, no question. I mean, Mitchell Frank has had one of the greatest careers of anyone to wear the orange and blue. Not it certainly his results have been phenomenal, his winning percentages, the impact he's had on the court. But one of the things that Mitchell exemplifies is a total student athlete. I mean, he's a young man that takes his academics very seriously. He has over a 3.5 GPA. He works vigorously on and off the court. He's a great example for the guys. And you know, unanimously, they understood that when they decided he was going to be their team captain. And he's growing a lot. You know, he's opened up. He realizes that everyone's human and makes mistakes regardless of their intentions and how hard they work. So I think he's not only leading by example, but he's putting his time into the guys to help explain things, to maybe prevent some things that he did, mismanaging certain things over the last 3 years, 3.5 years, so they can move things along a little bit quicker. And again, realizing that this is something bigger than him, and he's so proud to be a Cavalier, and we're certainly proud to have him. Unfortunately, this is it for us. We get one last ride.
You have a new assistant coach this year in Dustin Taylor. How long have you known Dustin, and what do you see him adding to the program?
Well, Dustin Taylor, I believe, is one of the best coaches in the world. No question about that. I've already learned a great deal from him, as I know of all the players. He's a sharp young man. He sees the game incredibly well. He reads the players of the game, and he can wear their shoes. I'm honored to have the opportunity to work with someone who's probably worked with more top 100 Americans on the professional tour than anyone in the country. I'm thankful to the athletic department for helping me, recruit Dustin and his family to Charlottesville, John Oliver and others who participated in making Dustin feel comfortable that this was a place that him and his family could move to from the USTA headquarters in Boca Raton. He's been an incredible addition to our program. He's made a tremendous impact from day number one. And he's one of the things I like so much about him is he brings some perspective and balance to the program that I think is very important, including to Coach BB. So that's been that I think has been refreshing in a lot of ways. He's got incredible discipline. He's helped me build the culture of discipline here, which is very important to us. He has a passion for tennis like no one I've ever seen. And he continues to learn and improve. He's got a growth mindset, somebody who's very humble and always willing to listen and learn from not only me, but the players as well. Special coach, just as Scott Brown is. And I feel like I have the blessing to work with two of the finest tennis coaches in the world.
Almost a year ago to the day, you were sitting in that same seat, guest on the podcast, and I asked you then about Virginia's incredible winning streak in the ACC. At that time, your teams had won 106 consecutive matches against ACC opponents. It's now up to 122 in a row. Has the streak been a burden at all? Is it motivation? I know you probably don't bring it up a lot, but it's out there too.
Well, Jeff, I think it's a burden when we lose. Starting our ninth year, I would say no, it hasn't been a burden.
Who are the main challengers to Virginia in the ACC this year?
Well, the ACC in general is, I would argue, the best conference in the country. There's other great conferences in the Pac-12, the Big 12, and the SEC, and the Big 10. But I think this year the depth of the ACC is special. There's some great teams at the top. I think there's a number of teams that will compete in the top 10. Some of the usual suspects in Duke and North Carolina. My old assistant, who spent a lot of time with me, Tony Bresky, is doing a great job at Wake Forest. And then, you know, there's the NC States, Florida State, and others that are all just really quality programs with excellent coaches and good people around them. So we're excited about competing in the league again. The guys have done a great job managing that streak and continuing to come ready to play every day. Quite frankly, that is probably the most mind-boggling stat that I have ever been part of in the sport of tennis. If you had told me that when I came here, I would have said there is a better chance I would be on the moon. And that's out of respect for the ACC. Yeah. We've been very lucky, incredibly lucky in so many of those matches. I mean, you're talking about a number of 4-3s when we're down and out. Yeah, it's mind-boggling. And if it ever does come to an end, which obviously all streaks come to an end, all records come to an end, that's okay. You know, we have tremendous respect for the league. We just need to go play our hearts out every match, see what happens. That's what they've done.
NCAA championships are at Baylor this year, right?
Yeah.
And you're playing a regular season match there on March the 1st. I assume that's not a coincidence.
Not a coincidence at all. No, we really wanted to get to Baylor. We did not want to do it on March 1st because you never know what the pending weather could be down in Texas at that time. I mean, obviously their weather is at times inconsistent. We want to get outdoors where the tournament will be played in May, most likely, unless we have to use indoors for a day or two. Sometimes that happens. So, that's what we did at Illinois. It worked for us. We were unable to do it at Georgia last year because of scheduling. We just couldn't get there. We tried. It's something we try to do. There's times it works and at times it doesn't. But we look forward to Waco. I think it's a great place for the NCAA Sweet 16. I haven't felt that way about all the sites, but I do feel strongly about Waco. I think it's the right place.
Do you think you'll be able to get outdoors on March 1st?
I do, and I hope so. You know, I hope that we're going to be able to spend some time outdoors here. I mean, the weather here over Christmas was amazing. You know, we could have easily trained outside. You could train outside this week if you wanted. I mean, 50 degrees is great weather. Now, we're playing indoors this weekend, so we'll stay indoors. But, I mean, this is good tennis weather.
When you have a team that's a legitimate national championship contender, as you do every year, what's the importance of the regular season? I know you want to win every match, but do you make some decisions with an eye toward postseason?
Well, I don't think there's any question we've gotten better at that. You know, it's something that as a competitor I've struggled with a little bit over the years just because people that are as competitive as myself or others within the program, obviously, we want to make sure that we're really process-oriented and the focus is getting better every day. And that's going to come with some sacrifice and some risk along the way to make sure that you prepare for all the things that could come in May, including having B plans and making sure guys get enough reps, guys get enough matches, guys stay healthy. We pulled a lot of guys out over the years. Mm-hmm. That's another reason I think the ACC streak is mind-boggling, that we've been lucky to pull some guys out and still somehow manage to win a 4-3 match. That's happened a number of times. And then other things come up. So it is a tough place to be in at times. I mean, I think Tony Bennett will go through this right now with the pressure that every game, you know, seems bigger than it is. But if anyone can manage something like that, no one will ever be better than Tony Bennett. That's for sure. I think we can all learn from him.
All right, final question, and it's about your friend Tony Bennett. Are you worried that all this success will go to his head?
Well, you know, I'm reminded of him every day that he's really not that good, and that I can feel his ego in JPJ right now. I enjoy reminding Tony that most mornings when I send him and shoot him a quick text that he's really overrated and not that good. But in all due respect, I say that because I believe quite otherwise. He exemplifies humility. He's one of the finest human beings I've ever had the chance to become friends with, and I'm blessed and honored, as I think all of us coaches are, to have him in the department representing all of us. I feel the same way about Mike London. I think he's a quality human being, wonderful person, and I really believe in that program, and I think they're on the rise. I really, really do. I'm proud to be part of this athletic department led by Tony Bennett and Mike London, and I hope those fans that, you know, doubt us at any point can hang in there and stick with us, because I think the best is in front of UV Athletics with the leadership that we have and the coaches, the collection of coaches that I believe are the best in the country. I've learned more from my colleagues here and the coaching staff than anywhere I've ever been. And that's a tribute to the collection of coaches we have here, the fine people and ambitious staff that we have around this McHugh Center and around the department. It's a special place to be, and like I said, I'm just happy to play a small little part in it. But Tony's been a great friend, and I'm very blessed to learn a lot from him, and I'll make sure he stays humble if anyone's concerned. But I don't think he needs a lot of help.
Brian, as always, thanks for making time in your crazy schedule to stop by the studio. Best of luck this weekend and all season.
Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate it.
I'll be back next week with another Wahoo Central podcast. Until then, remember to check VirginiaSports.com for updates on all 25 of our teams, and thanks for listening.